If you have your Bibles with you, I want to look at the book of Colossians. We're going to look at Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 13 and 14 of Colossians 2, and then we'll look at Colossians 3. We will read verses 12 to 14 of Colossians 3. We'll start in Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14, and then we'll flip over and read from Colossians 3, verses 12 to 14. So Colossians 2, starting in verse 13, please hear this public reading of God's word. "And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." And then chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." As we come to our time of confession today, just a few questions that we could consider or think on. Number one would be, have we remembered the gospel this week? Have we reminded ourselves of the gospel? Have we preached it to ourselves at all this week? I read recently that a member of Martin Luther's church apparently came to him after maybe a service, and he said, "Why do you preach the gospel to us week in and week out? Why do you remind us of the gospel week in and week out?" And Martin Luther said, "Because week in and week out, you forget it. We are prone to forget the gospel." So have we reminded ourselves of the gospel? Secondly, have we lived in light of the gospel? Have we put on, as Colossians 3:12 says, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, have we put on compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience? Have we extended forgiveness to others when others have wronged us? Or have we been bitter when others have wronged us rather than forgiving others as God in Christ has forgiven us? A quick story to help illustrate this point about forgiving others comes from Corrie Ten Boom, one of my favorite stories from her life. She wrote the book The Hiding Place that I'm sure you're probably familiar with, and she and her family hid Jews in their home in Holland during World War II. They were discovered and found out, and her whole family was thrown into concentration camps. And she and her sister Betsy were transferred to Ravensbrück concentration camp, a horrible concentration camp. Now, Corrie was released because of a clerical error. She was allowed to be released. But Betsy, her sister, would ultimately die in that prison camp. After the war, Corrie began traveling around telling her story and sharing the gospel. And this takes place in 1947 when she was speaking in Germany. Corrie writes this: "It was 1947, and I had come from Holland to defeated Germany with the message that God forgives. It was the truth they needed most to hear in that bitter, bombed-out land, and I gave them my favorite mental picture, maybe because the sea is never far from a Hollander's mind. I like to think that that's where forgiven sins were thrown. When we confess our sins, I said, God cast them into the deepest ocean, gone forever. The solemn faces stared back at me, not quite daring to believe. There were never questions after a talk in Germany in 1947. People stood up in silence. In silence, they collected their wraps, and in silence, they left the room. And that's when I saw him, working his way forward against the others. One moment I saw the overcoat and the brown hat, the next a blue uniform and a visored cap with its skull and crossbones. It came back with a rush, the huge room with its harsh overhead lights, the pathetic pile of dresses and shoes in the center of the floor, the shame of walking naked past this man. I could see my sister's frail form ahead of me, ribs sharp beneath the parchment skin. Betsy, how thin you were." Betsy and I had been arrested for concealing Jews in our home during the Nazi occupation of Holland. This man had been a guard at Ravensbrück concentration camp where we were sent. Now he was in front of me, hand thrust out, a fine message, Fräulein. How good it is to know that, as you say, all our sins are at the bottom of the sea. And I, who had spoken so glibly of forgiveness, fumbled in my pocketbook rather than take that hand. He would not remember me, of course. How could he remember one prisoner among those thousands of women? But I remembered him. And the leather crop swinging from his belt, it was the first time since my release that I had been face to face with one of my captors, and my blood seemed to freeze. You mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk, he was saying. I was a guard in there. No, he did not remember me. But since that time, he went on, I have become a Christian. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things I did there. But I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, again the hand came out. Will you forgive me? And I stood there,
I who sins it every day to be forgiven, and I could not. Betsy had died in that place. Could he erase her slow, terrible death simply for the asking? It could not have been many seconds that he stood there, hand held out, but to me it seemed hours as I wrestled with the most difficult thing I had ever had to do. I stood there with the coldness clutching my heart. But forgiveness is not an emotion. I knew that too. Forgiveness is an act of the will, and the will can function regardless of the temperature of the heart. Jesus, help me, I prayed silently. I love that. The throne of grace is open, and here she is struggling to forgive him from her heart. And she says, Jesus, help me. I can lift my hand. I can do that much. You supply the feeling. And so woodenly, mechanically, I thrust my hand into the one stretched out to me. And as I did, an incredible thing took place. The current started in my shoulder, raced down my arm, sprang into our joint hands, and then this healing warmth seemed to flood my whole being, bringing tears to my eyes. I forgive you, brother, I cried with all my heart. So have we lived in light of the gospel, and has the gospel impacted the way we lived? Have we been compassionate towards others? Have we been meek towards others, patient with others, and have we forgiven others as God in Christ has forgiven us? I'll give you a few moments to pray silently, and I'll close us in prayer. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, we are thankful for the chance just to gather corporately and worship you week in and week out here in this room every Sunday afternoon. What a privilege it is. And Father, we're thankful for the gospel, the good news that you have forgiven us our sins. You have nailed them to the cross and we bear them no more. But Father, we must admit that so often we are prone to forget the gospel. We're prone to lose sight of the gospel. So Father, help us to preach it to ourselves, to marinate on the gospel every single day. Help us to truly be gospel-centered people. And Father, forgive us for not living in light of the gospel this past week, for not putting on compassionate hearts, and not being meek, and not being patient with those around us. And forgive us, Father, for not extending forgiveness to others when others have wronged us. Forgive us for our bitterness that we have experienced and held on to. Help us, Father, to live in light of the gospel. We are thankful that you have cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. We are thankful that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Father, even now as we sing this next song, I pray that you would use this time to draw us closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.